You've got to tell me. Someone told me that you had an experience in the street, which you talked about on the radio, and you've got to share on this podcast about leather jackets.
Oh.
You haven't told that story.
Haven't I?
No, what happened?
Well, do I look innocent? Like, do I look like...
You do look a bit, you look a bit like a yokel, kind of, like a farm yokel. You know what I mean? If I didn't know you...
You'd approach me?
You're very approachable. You're like me. We both look approachable.
When I first used to do ads on TV, I was always every man. I was always like...
Yeah, well, same here.
Yeah, I was like the dad that was not a bad bloke but didn't always get it right. That's what I was saying before when we're having burgers.
Yeah.
I normally get cast as nice, dumb guy.
Yeah, yeah. And I get cast as working class, road worker.
Yeah, you are the voice of superannuation.
Yeah, I'm the voice of... I used to be the voice of Coles Express. Good not gig. Anymore.
Anyway, so I'm sitting there in my car. I'm early for dinner. What do you do when you're early for dinner? I just sat in my car. Anyway.
Go for a walk sometimes.
See? That's good.
I love a bit of a walk around the neighbourhood.
And then a guy pulls up next to me and goes, excuse my accent. Excuse, it's Italian. Oh, I'm trying for
it. Is it Italian?
Yeah. Does that sound Italian?
Yeah, excuse me.
Excuse. I'm going to airport, phone the battery flat, can't find the airport. Oh, well, look, you're in Elsenwood. Look, just if you
it's a long way, mate.
Go up the Nepean Highway, and then when you get to the city, maybe ask where to go. He goes, oh, okay, very nice, thank you. He goes, here's my card. Have you ever been to Italy? I said, he goes, I am a fashion designer from Versace, and I just do a show at David Jones. I went, wow, well, that's really cool.
Impressive.
And I'm thinking he needs to catch a plane. And he goes, you know, if you ever come to Italy, you look me up, and we have a good time. I went, God, he's a nice bloke. And then he walks back to his car and he goes, oh, why not? He says to himself, look, I have these jackets here that I could not, that I use in the show. I can't take them back to Italy because I can't pay the tax on them to be taken over. Would you like? And I went, no, look, it's fine. I've just done you a little favour. And that's fine. And he goes, well, you no like my jackets? He got sad.
You no like my jackets?
And then I felt, bad. Then I had a pang of greed because do you wear leather? I don't
wear leather. No, I wear leather, no.
But my brother's got a motorbike and he was showing me this really cool motorbike jacket. And, of course, my family, the girls, they like to wear leather. Not all the time, but they would wear it. So I'm going, and he's like, give me like... four jackets. He goes, feel this one. He's beautiful.
So at this point, there's no money.
But nothing. And they're in plastic wrappers that I am 100% hooked.
Yeah.
And it wrappers with Versace on them. His card looked legit. He looked fantastic. He was tanned, good looking, really, really good Italian clothes that you wouldn't normally see
here. Yeah. So he's dressed up. Yeah.
So I go, oh, look, all right, I'll have them, being a martyr. He goes, oh, that is good. Maybe I have done you a favor, maybe you do me a favor. And I went, oh, yeah, sure. My daughter, she turned 10 tomorrow. I would love to buy her an iPad, and maybe you could buy for me to give to her, given I have given you $2,000 worth of jackets.
What?
And I went, you're a fashion designer? From Versace, you're not short of cash.
Interesting.
What? So my theory, and I just went, oh, it's a scam. But then I walked away and I sort of went, really good. Opening, set up, excellent. Performance, excellent.
Fantastic.
Idea, really good. But the last part of it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, it didn't.
Then I got home and Googled it. I thought, how much of, was it? All over the world. You must buy a kit. Because everything, there was the card, there was a Versace wrapping, there were the jackets, there was the spiel, and apparently the spiel, like you can buy magic tricks.
Yeah, it's the same all around the world.
Yeah, all around the world.
Milan. And what about the closer? Is that's when they close their con?
His closing wasn't good. Closers, no. Yeah, needed to, you're a writer. What would you say his closer should be?
See, the thing is, he's got you with the jackets, and goes.
I'm in, I'm hooked.
Yeah, you're hooked, and he goes, there is one more. He needs to say he needs – it's like when one of my friends was looking for a comedian for a gig for the police and she said they've got no money. But this comedian, who I won't name, said he'll do it, but he's just going to get some costs off us.
Right.
And the costs were $1,500. Right, and I said, right. So was he going to get a helicopter to the gig? Or? So if he – it's the language that he uses. He needs to say, I'm not going to charge you for the jackets, but could you get me some $200 worth of petrol or...
Yeah, that's what I think he was kind of doing.
Yeah, yeah, but he needs a better... Because, I mean, how much will those jackets really be worth, you reckon?
Oh, they're worth nothing. They're probably from Bali.
Yeah.
They were probably... But I did feel them, and when you're in the right mindset, they felt superb.
Yeah, yeah. So they would be worth like $50 each or less?
Less. I think you'd probably get them in Bali very cheaply. And people are paying online, people were paying like $800, $1,500 for the four jackets.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so his clothes has got to be better.
It's, yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the guy who did the original script, they should have another movie. Because you know what it's like. Don't go with the first draft.
Yeah, don't go with your first idea. No. Go with your second eye or third idea. Work on it.
Work on it.
Bounce and it around.
Maybe he should have just gone... I'm about to have an operation.
Yeah, or I mean, I had a woman approach me once in a just outside a fruit shop in Yarraville with a petrol can, and said, "My car's just breaking down. I need some money."
Oh, that's smart.
And she says, "It's a great prop."
Yeah,
isn't it? And so I gave her $5. I walk in the fruit shop, and the guy goes, "Oh no, you didn't get caught by the petrol can, woman."
Like, what about the lady that comes to the window with the, when they want to clean your windscreen? Oh, g'day, clean your windscreen. It's my birthday today.
Oh, really?
And you go, is it your birthday? Every time.
But also, you'd have the same problem. You'd be worse than me because you're more famous than me. They go looking, they go, oh, yeah, you're a funny guy. They always seem to know comedians, those window washers. They always know me.
You get a thing about where someone yelled at and he said, give me some money.
Yeah, yeah. No, they juggled in front of his car and then they went some money. He goes, mate, I couldn't see him. Your windscreen's too dirty. You need to wash it. Anyway.
Here's the music.
Oh, here comes the music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related, and now please welcome your hosts Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, welcome to Somehow Related.
And I've got to say, I'm getting some
good feedback.
Feedback for the show.
Same here.
Yeah, people are sending in ideas.
I was in Sydney. I had to do a gig for Mortgage Brokers, and there was a fan there. Loves the show.
Yeah, it's good to
hear. Mortgage Broker.
Mortgage broker.
Mortgage broker.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's a big industry.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we need to do more advertising. I don't care how many people are listening.
I just thought it was me and you, you know, friends. But no, there's people listening. Don't worry about that.
Maybe, what we should do, we should sort of try to make it into a TV show and put it out there. We need ideas for TV shows to turn it. Can we? We'll do it. Like, what do they call it? Group funding thing? What do they call that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Possible. Possible, the possible scheme, or there's a few different methods.
Where
you
can fund something where people put money into account and go. Oh,
yeah, well, like George McEncrow, friend of the show, she started Sheba, which is the female Uber, basically.
Yeah.
Female drivers, only female and kid passengers, and she was asking. She raised like some amazing amount of money, so we could raise a lot of money. Just keep it. Just go on holiday and film. I'll film something on my phone. TV pilot's going real good.
I'll have the leather jackets that we can wear to make us look like really. Okay.
Is that a bad idea if your acting career starts to fall over? Become a con man or a con woman.
The other one's speakers. Remember the speakers?
Speakers, yeah. I remember a guy I knew fell for that. A guy would rock me in a white van. I think Irish guy.
Yeah. I mean, heading out of the country.
Yeah, I've got these great speakers. They're like the top of the range, top of the range.
I can't take them with me.
Yeah, yeah. Just have a look at them. And my friend Bradley bought them and his wife.
There's nothing in them, is there?
Nah, they're not. They don't work.
take them home to the family. They'll work in a sec. Hang on.
Hang on. Plug them in. Oh, they're really cheap or something. They're not top of the range. They sell them as top of the range.
Anyway.
Let's go to topics. Should we go to topics?
Yep, here we go.
Winning the lottery and dying.
Winning the lottery and dying. Do you buy lottery tickets?
No, never. No, my parents do. I go to the newsagents. I have a great newsagents near me with a great couple, Deidre and I don't know the guy's name. Again, I met them because I did the Newsagents of the Year Awards with John Blackman. Was hosting. And your friend John Blackman. And he's a friendly guy. He's a good guy. And then and I had to do stand-up at the News Agents of the Year Awards. And what sort of people do you reckon are buying news agents these days?
I'd say guys in their 50s.
Oh, that's a traditional owner. But no, it's Asian couples and Indian couples as well as guys in their 50s.
Out of touch. You're so right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's like a business. And, I mean, these guys that run the news agency and me do quite well. But you know what they did tell me? They got rid of their newspaper delivery. And Solar 2, an Indian guy, just runs it out of a storage facility.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you know that when you get your paper chucked on the lawn.
Yeah.
Well, they he said he got so many angry complaints. And people, he said people would get really angry.
About where it was landing.
Yeah, and just not getting it. Because, I mean, he would have to do it himself. Because back in our day, it was a job for teenage boys.
Yeah.
My brother used to do it.
There was no rolling up in plastic then.
No.
It was how you rolled it up on the spot and put it in the letterbox.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And then they got the best Christmas presents, the paper boys.
Yeah, you just go around and knock on the door.
Yeah.
Well, they knock on the door or they put it out for them?
I think a bit of both, depending on the area or whatever. But now
– Christmas bonus.
Now it's – the guy – I still get my paper delivered. So –
You still do?
Yeah, I love it.
So you wander out and you – where do you go out in?
I go in my pyjamas and pick it up.
Pyjamas?
Yeah.
So I said that to someone the other day. Can you bring the rubbish bin in with your pyjamas on?
Oh, yeah, I do. I've dropped my kid off at school in my pyjamas. So they look a little bit like a tracksuit.
You don't – has it occurred to you that if something was to happen that
– You get locked out. Like that ad, one day you're going to get caught. Remember that ad? One day you're going to get caught. Anyway.
What made us talk about that?
Lottery. Anyway, he got rid of the newspaper delivery. But anyway, despite that, the lottery business that they run is massive out of their newsagents. Yeah. Huge.
Yeah. You got your quick pick.
Oh, you're going to buy tickets? 15 million tonight? I'm just like, nah.
You know what the chances are?
It's incredible, isn't
one
it?
1 in 8 million.
Yeah, it's no good. I just love
one in 7 million, I'd give it a crack.
I love that story. That story in Geelong where they had like 8 guys in a courier company, I think it was, and he would put in the ticket every week for them. And their numbers came up, and then he said, I forgot to put it in. I don't know what happened. Gary and Steve and Wodge. Anyway, next day he's driving a Mercedes around. Then he's got a new speedboat. Then he's moved house. They took him to court.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but yeah. No, I don't know what happened. I didn't put it in.
I forgot. Yeah, no, I forgot.
Anyway, checked out my new speedboat. Come for a ride.
Are you ringing me from a boat? No. I can hear waves in the background. No. Is that a jet ski I can hear? No. Bloody TV.
Lottery can... I read a great article, I can't remember where it was, about a guy in America who, dirt poor, wins lottery and it just ruins his life. He won one of the really big ones and he was in the south of America, worked as like a painter or something like that.
So if you win, just give it away. Your life's going to be... Because, you know, they say, we had this argument with someone the other day. If you won, let's just say you won $1 million.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Would it change your life?
No, because I continue to work.
Yeah.
Why would I stop doing comedy? Yeah. Why would I stop that?
So your life really wouldn't change. You know, and research also shows that no matter how much money you've got, it only makes you happier if you come from having no money. And then there's as far as happiness goes, there's no real change.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because you appreciate the same things that money can't buy. Oh, God, there, I've said it. I should be on it.
Do you remember the Tim and Debbie sketch where, remember Tim and Debbie on Australia Standing on It? Oh, Steve Blackburn and Mary Keneally.
Yes.
Who I saw in a bakery the other day. I was having a chat to her.
What was she buying?
She was looking for her lost sunglasses. She came in. They all knew her. And then Rod Quantock, who's married to her, came in.
Oh, no, this is a setup.
No, this is not a setup. I see Rod all the time. Anyway, whatever, around the shops.
But what were you buying for a start?
Oh, I was buying my wife a pie. She wanted a pie for lunch. Pie. Yeah, they make a good pie. Just straight pie.
Yeah,
I think it's chunky beef. See, I'm trying to. I find pies too heavy, so I went to the chicken shop, and you know what I get? I get a quarter of chicken with coleslaw. Ooh,
you feel a bit better about it.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I must admit, I like a pie, but a pie doesn't like me.
Yeah, pies.
It'll just sit with me for the next couple. Oh, but going down, good.
Beautiful.
Later on, not so good.
Anyway, Mary, they used to these great characters, Tim and Debbie. Maybe we'll play them. In our thinking music, because it's still out there, it's on YouTube, and she talks about how she goes because they were hippies, weren't they? Sort of hippie,
yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, man, went to the protest today, and
they weren't the smartest.
No, they weren't. No. They did a segment called Brain Space, so something you would see on a Channel 31 sort of program or ABC late night, and young people talking about issues, and so they did this one where he goes. She goes, no, Tim, money doesn't make you happy. And he goes, oh, I saw this guy like in a yacht and he had like blonde women and he looked pretty happy. She's like, no, he wasn't happy. And he goes, I don't know, he looked pretty happy. No, Tim, he's not happy at all. We looked it up the other day and watched it. It was pretty funny. Anyway, I think you're right. I think
Well, if you won a million, you could just what would you buy do? A house. Well, you buy half a house.
Yeah.
You could buy a house in...
No, you could buy a house in... out in the... Mitcham, where I grew up. Buy a house out there.
For about a million?
Yeah, a million, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, look...
Is that happiness? I don't think so.
Well, if they're Mitcham, you know, Mitcham, you're a pretty picture.
But see, I suppose if you've got absolutely no money, like the guy in Geelong who's working as a courier, but he won a lot of money and then didn't tell anyone, so...
Well, there's got to be that initial period where you just go, oh, this is fantastic. But then apparently you get pestered by a lot of people saying...
Yes.
You get relatives coming out of the woodwork.
Yes.
Yep. Going, g'day, Keith. It's your cousin from up come back to West.
Yeah.
And kids are doing it a bit tough. Want to put them through private school.
Yeah. My granddad's brother won Tass Lotto, or cousin, and he would come around, and they were all poor. Like, you know, granddad was a wharfie, and he would come around in his Mercedes, and then granddad would always tell a story, and he got his wallet out, and he said, like, Herbert, I want to give you something. And he put $10 on the table. This kind of – but they always used to talk about him all the time, this guy, how he'd won Tass Lotto. Because it was the working class dream when we were growing up, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you should buy a Tats ticket tonight. You should buy a Tats ticket.
And everyone would say, well, somebody's got to win it.
Yeah.
And well, they don't, actually.
Did your parents buy a ticket? My parents still buy them, I think.
Yeah, your parents – no, we weren't a Tass Lotto family.
Oh, we were.
No, and we were not even a Scratchy family. Scratchies make me feel weird.
We used to watch it, and Dad would have the numbers on Saturday night, wasn't it? He used to watch it.
You'd be waiting for the sun.
Carl, can I win it this time?
Do they? Because they used to do a live crosswalk, didn't they? Do they still do that? No.
I don't know, but I know. It's come beyond that. Friend of the show, Des Allen, I was pretty sure he did Powerball for a while. I think he was a Powerball guy. Someone I knew was a Powerball guy for a while, doing the Powerball.
Because it was for a long time, there wasn't the sup.
Oh, there wasn't the supplementary?
No. And then the sup came in because, you know, you wanted to still be in the game before the sup came up. And you'd sit there and you'd watch the balls going around and you'd watch them go into the – and you'd listen to her say the number.
And then the judges. 14. Remember the judges would be there.
Good gig. There's a good gig for a crew, for a director, for the
– Yeah. I don't think they do that anymore. They mustn't do it anymore.
No, they mustn't. Okay. So, lottery.
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 It's good. It's bad.
I think it's a waste of money.
Yeah.
I always say, if you saved up all those, if mum and dad had saved all that money they spent on the lottery, they'd be millionaires.
But certain countries have used it for massive campaigns to build things.
Oh, they? Like Romania and stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, where does our lottery money go? Does it go to charity?
They do donate some of it to charity. Because remember, Tattersall's is always saying this amount of money goes to charity, you know, blah, blah. But I assume a lot of the money, ticket money, goes back into the prize. If they're paying out $15 million, they've got to get the money from somewhere to.
You would imagine that it'd be anyway. You'd imagine it would roll up a bit though over the years.
Yeah, true.
They would have. I'd like to talk to a man from Tats Lotto and
Tats Lotto.
What is it? There's Tats Lotto, there's Powerball, and there's.
What if they're owned by all the same people?
And you'd have to obviously it would have to be government sanctioned.
Yeah.
You can't just set up a because all that stuff's really strict, isn't it? Now
this guy I went to school with. Dad's got involved with the Romanian lottery, where he would have a syndicate. It was in the paper. And they would buy all the tickets and then win the prize. They would buy most of the tickets. It's something. Yeah. Oh, they got in trouble for it. The Romanian government were sus on it for a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, so.
Okay, we've talked about lottery, so we're going to talk about dying?
Yeah.
We'll talk about dying next after these messages.
If you're looking for another podcast, why not tune in to me, Carl Quinn, and my co-host, Andrew Young, on The Clappers, where we talk film, TV, theatre, music, art, books, all kinds of things. And let's not forget, cycling. That's us on The Clappers. Search for The Clappers where you're listening now.
All right, we're back.
Well, this is
that's a new form, it's new, not gonna be new idea.
I listened to us talking about masturbation a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, I love that bit.
And,
I love that.
We handle it quite well.
Considering that neither of us masturbate, we seem to know a lot about it.
I learned something from myself.
Dying. Yeah, well, because we're both, I'm 54 tomorrow.
Oh, are you?
Happy birthday to me.
Huh? What star sign are you?
Taurus. The bull. What are you?
My partner is a Taurus. That means we probably get on well.
Yeah.
But I was going to make a joke there about sex life. But I won't do that.
What are you?
Capricorn.
Capricorn dancer. Yeah, right.
Me and Tiger Woods.
Oh, wow. Birthday. Oh.
December 30. Don't feel sorry for me that it's in between Christmas and New Year's.
December 30?
Yeah.
Wow. As a kid, was that annoying?
People say that, and I'm used to it now. It's
Of course. Therapy. Yeah.
It always comes up.
But as a kid, would you get birthday present then Christmas present?
I get the old two presents, as in one for, you know, you get a bike, which covered both.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah, it was pretty sad.
Yeah.
It was
yeah. You're almost Jesus.
Buddha. Yeah. There's a reading bit about Buddhism. They say, think about it every day.
Death. Yeah. I think we think about it as we're getting older, though, too.
Oh, yeah.
You've got I've got elderly parents who are closer to death than we are. You've got an elderly mum.
Yeah.
So you do think about it a bit.
Well, yeah, but it's hard, you know, milk, bread.
Death.
Death. Pick up the dry cleaning, death again.
Are you a hypochondriac, you reckon?
Absolutely.
So when you get a lump, you just go.
That's called catastrophizing.
So well, friend of the show, Des Dowling.
Well, we're allowed to say that.
He's a big hypochondriac.
He's got a stamp in his wallet, the hypochondriac stamp.
Yeah, he's like you. Yeah. And so the other day he had a football injury. He's playing footy. Silly, right, at his age. And they gave him he thought he'd bumped his head, so they gave him a full brain scan. He goes, so that's good. I've had a full brain scan. They didn't find any tumours or anything. So then he goes, I didn't ask. They would have told me, wouldn't they? I said, yeah, there'd be a responsibility if the dude's looking at the thing goes, oh, geez, there's a golf ball there. Well, we're not doing that at the moment. We're doing his neck. So don't worry about the
Chris. Go home.
Yeah. He's going home. He's got to play another game of footy.
Yeah.
So he was rapt that he had this brain scan that, you know, there was no tumours. Because that's always a dread, isn't it, a tumour?
It's the tests that and it's always you find a lump and it's a
It's a tumour.
Show you lumps that I get upset about, but I won't. Because it won't work very well on
the
podcast.
Do you get a blood test every year?
Yeah.
Yeah, same year.
Yep.
Get your bloods done. But that's good.
But it is.
Do you get the finger up the bottom every year? Not for the test, just for fun.
Yeah, a cheerio to Graham if you're listening out there.
Graham, they don't do that anymore. I've had that done.
Yeah, it's a PSI. Is it
yeah, PSI? It's a prostate. It's prostate.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Or it's a certain type of petrol that you buy.
Yes. I've done these lunches called Big Blokes Lunches, which was started by a guy in Shepparton.
Yep.
One of the McPhersons. They owned all the newspapers, right, in Shepparton. And anyway, they run them all in country Victoria and country New South Wales because he got prostate cancer. And anyway, what happens at all these – so it's all blokes at these lunches in the country, like band style.
Yeah.
And they'll always get a doctor on stage, and you always do this one. All right, there's 10 blokes sitting at that table there.
Oh, yeah.
Two of you will die from prostate cancer. Yeah. Everyone's looking around each other. Yeah. Oh, no.
They love that, the doctors, when they got their
power. Oh, they love it.
Shut up.
Yeah, they love
Stop
it.
But to contemplate it, what is seize the day? How do you say that in Latin?
Yeah, it's from that movie. Cap d'N.
Sam, how do you say seize the day in Latin.
Carpe diem. Used to urge someone to make the most of the present time and give little thought to the future.
Seize the day. Yeah. Thanks, Sam.
So if you, but because it, you appreciate that. What's the greatest statement in philosophy ever said? I'm going for a random link here. But this too shall pass.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's
so
a good
one. In other words, if you contemplate death,
things will get better.
Death
won't pass.
Well, because that's the ultimate.
I think death's a full stop.
So therefore you go, enjoy this moment.
Yeah.
Because we're all going to the same place.
Oh, yeah. Some quicker than others.
I'll look you up when I'm up there.
You look me up?
Do you ever see signs from the other side?
Do I ever see signs from the other side? No, do you?
I reckon I do.
Really? What do you see? Do you have messages?
Well, my dad loved birds.
Oh, right. Yep.
Every time I go to the house, their house at the beach, extraordinary birds swoop down at me.
Wow. Cool, sure, your dad.
I put some bird seed on the top of my head.
It's magpie. It's a mating season. But anyway, whatever.
But no, like really, and it happens every time. And then, I'll see them in the tree and they'll just stare at me. And I go, I reckon that's because dad liked birds. I reckon there's someone from the other side.
Oh,
but dad's still here, by the way.
Yeah, he's not dead. I've never had anyone close to me pass away. So all my brothers are alive, my parents are alive.
Right.
So, which is pretty remarkable when you're 53, almost 54.
Have you seen that kid on Nine Life, the American kid that goes around to does the readings?
Oh, no, I've heard about him. I've read about him.
It's good to watch. But you're going, Wikipedia. You're going seriously.
Oh, does he do readings on people?
Yeah.
There's a great bit in that show, which was one of my favourite shows from the last couple of years, The Leftovers. Did you ever watch The Leftovers?
Oh, no, American? I know of it.
Yeah, where 10% of the population disappears. It's like The Reckoning or something like that. But there's a great thing with the guy's a psychic, but all he's got his wife in the attic looking up Facebook. So the person comes in and he goes, "What's your name?"
Yeah.
"My name's Cindy Williams." "Okay, Cindy Williams." "She's Cindy Williams of Alabama." "Okay, she's married. She's got two kids. She's got a dog that just passed away." "Oh, I believe you've lost someone recently."
That's what they do. The people will mingle in the foyer of the.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did. We did a psychic night at a radio station I worked at.
Yeah.
And Connor, one of the assistants, just went out into the foyer in a radio T-shirt, talked to people. Came back to me because I dressed up as a psychic and said, "All right, you'll see a woman with big curly hair. She's from Frankston. All right. She loves Eastlink."
But what did he say to her to get her to say that?
I don't know. Connor's a she. She just chatted to them. Just went, "And oh, hi, welcome to the gig, everyone. What's your name? Where are you from?" "Oh, you're from Frankston." "Oh, you know, blah,
and,
blah,
and
blah."
And did they know that you were going to do – they didn't know you were going to do a psychic
thing? Oh, yeah, they knew. It was a psychic night. And then I went in there and dressed up and I went, "All right, who have we got? This is, what's your name? Sandra, you're from down by the bay. I'm seeing the beach." And they're all like,
"My God." Okay, I'll do it to you now, okay? Okay, just free your mind for a moment. I'm going to read your mind.
Yeah.
You are thinking about banana milkshakes.
Oh, I could be, yeah. See, that's the thing. All right, we had a psychic come on the radio once, and I said, he said, you predict what people are going to say. Okay, pick a number between 1 and 5. Don't tell me. Yep. Is it 3?
Yep.
Yeah. He goes, "Everyone pick 3. Because between 1 and 5, you don't pick 2 or 4. You always pick 3.
Yeah.
He said, "That's one of the easiest ones." And he said, "There's plenty of them out there that convince people that they're psychic, that you're psychic."
There's card tricks that you can do that.
Yeah. I love seeing a psychic work. It's fascinating. Well, a good one. What do
they call it? Cold reading?
It's cold reading, yeah.
Yeah. And it's very clever. I mean, when you see it done really well.
Yeah, it's good. It's entertaining.
What's that guy's name? The guy, Dan.
Not the mentalist people.
The guy on Netflix, the guy in the UK makes people jump off cliffs.
Oh, don't know.
Oh, damn. Doesn't matter. But he does stuff that he can do psychic readings. You're going, how the hell did he know that?
Sam, what's the name of the – is it Dan?
Darren Brown, he's got shows on Australian Netflix at the moment.
Okay, thanks.
Anyway, he's good. Okay, here's a question.
Yeah.
Do you want to be buried?
No, I'd rather be cremated,
We talked about this before. You know, you can be turned into water.
Oh, that's right.
It's called...
Oh, that's weird.
Alkaline hydrolysis, I think.
Something
like that.
Where do you want your ashes scattered?
In the water, probably.
In the water, yeah. You're a beach person, aren't you? Yeah,
in the ocean.
All right, we'll do it probably off Anglesey. Off Anglesey.
Yep. So you're
surf coast.
When I'm gone, you'll say Glenn said this on the podcast. Yep.
Yeah.
Somewhere on the surf coast. Yep.
I'll have to tell one of your brothers.
What about you?
You
want to be ashes? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where.
Whenever I ring you, it's usually down the park.
Yeah, down the park. Yeah, the park.
Or how about
park's miserable sometimes.
How about we put you in a banana milkshake and we
have a little drink. A little drink. Yum yum. And then, that'd be nice.
And then put it in the dishwasher and the ashes part can go in the dishwasher.
Maybe just in the backyard.
Do you find peace in the backyard?
Yeah, I like the backyard. Yeah. It's a big backyard, so yeah. I know one of my friends, this happened to one of my friends, is that they bought a house and then years later someone knocked on the door and said, "Oh, my dad's buried in the backyard. Can I come and say some more?" He's like, "What? Dad's buried in the backyard?"
Case in the joint.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question. Favourite, not that it's a favourite, most memorable TV or movie death?
Oh.
That's a good question, isn't it?
Bobby on Home and Away? No, that was in a boat, I think. That's a really good.
Explode.
Oh, what's a good one? Have you got one? Go and tell us one.
When, I forget his name, Dustin Hoffman in Midnight Cowboy when he died in the back of the bus.
Yeah, that was sad.
He's cuddled by...
I mean, I do love a good TV death too. I should have one of those.
I think we've got some...
Thinking music
lined up already, but can we play the moment in MASH where Colonel Henry Blake dies and Radar comes in and tells everybody who were in surgery.
Oh, yeah.
Blake dies. I remember I was lying on the floor as a boy watching MASH, I teared up.
Not the one with the chicken in the bus, which ended up being a baby. Remember that one?
What was that?
Keep the chicken quiet. They're in a bus. They got to keep the chicken quiet, but the chicken was a baby.
Oh.
It was really horrific. Oh. It was one of the serious MASH episodes. Remember when they went serious?
Without laugh tracks.
Yeah.
They were good.
They were good.
Yeah.
All right, let's have a bit of MASH.
Da-na-na. Radar, put a mask on.
If that's my discharge, give it to me straight. I can take it.
I have a message. Lieutenant Colonel Henry Blake's plane was shot down over the Sea of Japan. It spun in. There were no survivors.
I've talked about this show before, but Big Love, when the dad in Big Love died, which is the Mormon show, but and it was just unexpected who shot him. Spoiler alert, but I think it was his neighbour, who you just didn't think was going to shoot him. But that was sad. That was really sad.
Because you do take a little moment, do you?
Yeah.
Anyone else got a little bit of a tear in their eye?
You've got a bit of a character that you love.
You're really attached. It really gets through the defences, doesn't it?
Terrible.
Teared up.
Even in Breaking Bad, when Walter White died.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sad.
There was a moment when his brother-in-law died.
Oh, he was the best.
Yeah.
Hank.
Yeah.
Hank.
And he got shot, didn't he?
Oh, even in Game of Thrones, spoiler alert, when Sean Bean gets his head chopped off at the end of the first series. Oh,
if you're ever going to get upset, it's when someone's head gets chopped off.
One of the Starks.
Because you can really relate to that.
Did you watch the most recent? Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I've seen one episode and a bloke had sex with his sister.
Yeah, that's the first episode of the first series.
Not for me.
Oh, come on. And he pushed the kid out the window.
Yeah. I'm going, what is it? I'm not a supernatural. Is it super?
No, it's a bit of fantasy.
There are dragons in there.
There are dragons.
Yeah, well, come on.
I know. I'm not into fantasy either, but it is a good series. The drama is good.
The characters are good?
The characters are great. Really good. There's some really good characters in there.
No doubt. It's incredibly popular.
Spoiler alert. They're not scared of killing off a main character, though. I'll tell you what.
So now we have to
decide.
See how somehow related dying and lottery are.
Well, I'll just have a crack. I think once you win lottery, there's a greater chance of dying.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I better change it then.
Now, go on. We can say the both thing.
Yeah. People who know they're dying are more likely. No, oh, no, it doesn't work.
To win a lottery ticket.
No. The chances of dying. The chances. You've got more chance of dying. Oh.
Than winning lottery.
Yeah, that'll do.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the answer, Sam?
Statistically, you have a greater chance of dying on the way to buying a ticket for the lottery than actually winning the lottery. In the USA, you're more likely to win an Oscar or a gold medal than win the lottery or die in a plane crash or get killed by a lightning strike. Chances are so slim, but fewer as slim as winning the lottery.
Oh, wow.
So if you're thinking about...
That's why I don't buy lottery tickets.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to buy a lottery ticket. I may never return.
That's incredible. So well, they always say the chances of dying on the way to the airport is greater than dying in the plane, isn't it?
Well, it costs more to catch a cab to the airport than it does actually catch a plane.
These days, yes.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So, but having said that, I think we said earlier, 8 million to 1. So what are you dying on the way down the shops? What's the chance of dying?
Well, it's probably 6 million to 1 or something like that. It's probably just a bit better. You guys higher than that.
Dying, yeah. What would I know?
You know there's been a 50% jump in the Victorian road toll this year.
I know, it's bizarre.
Yeah, and most are two major areas, motorcycle accidents and two-lane country roads that are high-speed country roads. So not your big freeways, your small ones.
Here's what I think.
Yeah.
Because shark attacks have also
peaked,
gone up. And a lot of people say more people in the water. Same amount of sharks, more people. More people in water, more chance of shark attack. Now,
also, climate change are getting further down, aren't they? Because it's warmer in the water.
But that wrecks my theory.
Oh, that wrecks your theory, yeah. But climate change, more people in the water because it's warmer.
Yep.
So we can blame lots of things. But with cars, so it must be some sort of, what's not logarithm, mathematical equation. That amount of metal on a given space traveling at a certain speed, or it will come, will result in a certain number of deaths. Because I was always amazed how the number of deaths were almost about the same every year.
Yeah, it's true.
And there are, how has that happened?
Yeah.
Surely you could have a year where, oh, we lucked out, and no one has, but it's always around about the same. So it's kind of like if you put all those into the equation, you get that result. So would you put it toward an increase in population? So therefore, possibly, the road toll would be relevant to the population.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But like if you look at the road toll in the 70s, it was higher and the population was lower because less airbags,
there's no revolution there.
No barriers on the side of the road. Everyone was drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you have it. Well,
there we go.
If you do – well – but if you did win lottery, you could put aside some good money for your funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Put aside something doozy. What would you want played at your
– what song? Yeah. Don't know. Come on, baby, light my fire. Like that old joke. Oh, granddad got burnt the other day. Really badly? Well, they don't muck around the crematorium. That's a great joke.
I get embarrassed, you know, when they go and these are the people.
Oh, the memoriam thing? Yeah. It's my favourite bit of the Logies.
But
you didn't know
say to them, please don't applaud midway through, because sometimes they would applaud, like, his death is worth more than his death.
If it's actor, director than you're going to get a huge applause because you're well known and loved. But if it's like a lighting guy, no one really knew them that well.
Yeah, don't know who that is. Or who that is, applause. I don't know who that is. You're going, keep the applause to the end.
Yeah.
But they usually close with a big one at the end.
They do close with a big one.
With a big one.
That'd be you at the end.
No, oh, well, Glenn Andy Roberts. Lee said to me once, we were at a wedding, and he said, if the building blew up right now, who was there with Andy?
Oh, who'd be on the front page?
Who makes the headlines? And I said, Uncle Arthur and other comedians die in bomb explosion.
We've talked about that when I've been on a plane with Hughes and stuff, like who's going to be the front page of the Herald Sun in the plane crash.
Yeah.
And so for someone like Hughesy, that's front page. And you would just be in – it'd be like when Buddy Holly died.
You reckon Hughesy would be front page? I don't reckon he'd be front page.
Well, he's Buddy Holly and I'm the big bopper. You know what I mean? That's the thing. It's like you get the big one and then the –
well, you'd be pushed to page three.
No, I'd be in the article.
Would you be and friends?
Yeah. Oh, no, friends included. Other comedian, Dave O'Neill and
– but he'd be in the big print.
I bet there'd be a photo. There'd be a photo of him.
Do you reckon – and you reckon it would open the news or it'd be midway through the 6 o'clock news?
Ooh, I reckon it could open the news. I reckon you dying in a plane crash would open the news. Funny man, Glenn Robbins. Tragic news today. Funny man, Glenn Robbins has died in a plane crash.
I wouldn't be. Comedians don't get opening. Comedians aren't leading story on
maybe the news. You'll be the funny story at the end.
Yeah, I reckon come back from the weather.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, by the way.
And by the way, funny man, Glenn Robbins, much loved in Catherine Kim, up in Bogan, has died today in a plane crash. Oh.
Yeah.
I suspect that plane crashes are so rare in this country that it would make the front page, though. Because they're quite rare.
When we were surfing, that's what we used to call it. You're taken off a wave and you get held under to the point of seeing the headlines. While you're under the water, you actually see the headlines.
Oh, my God.
Boy dies in surf. We say, did you get dumped? And your friends go, I saw headlines. That means...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, a bit of surfing talk there, dudes. It's like I'm with the guy from Point Break.
Kelly Slater's probably a big listener.
Yeah, probably. Hang 5, hang 10. Do you still say that?
No.
Bolt-ons?
Cowabunga.
What about bolt-ons?
I never heard that.
They never heard bolt-ons?
Meaning the boards that you don't use.
Yeah, yeah, just bolted on the roof to impress the girls. My brother used to say, oh, they're like bolt-ons. Those guys got bolt-ons in the 70s. They got bolt-ons.
I really feel sorry for the so-called haves with their jacuzzis and the grand swimming pools and their Doncaster mansions, their Mercs and their Porsches, their Christian Dior's, their Christian Barnards. Like, are they really happy? Like, I ask you, are they really happy, Tim?
They look pretty happy to me, Dad. The other day, right, like, I saw this amazing guy in a Mercedes-Benz type situation, right? And he had this amazing, glamorous, blonde model type person in a Mercedes-Benz situation. And they were towing a yacht, and they both looked really happy.
They probably really, just really thought happy. They were happy, Tim, but they weren't really happy.
But they look really, really, really happy.
They did.
Incredibly
they
happy.
Just thought I mean, they were happy. No, Tim, no.
They
no.
just look.
They were not.
I mean, so happy.
We'll check later. Okay, they were probably
They were happy. They were happy.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.